It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, coming to you throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area, and of course worldwide at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That's where you can pick us up in St. Louis, in Los Angeles, in the Soviet Union. Still called the Soviet Union? Well, I want to jump to my guest, but I'm going to keep you in suspense a little bit longer because that's what radio is about, all right? I'm sorry. Well, special thank you to the great listeners of the show. It's because of you that we are in the top 10 in New York AM radio month after month. March, we were number 3. April, we dipped a little bit, number 5. But I'll take it. Out of, I think it's like 30 or 40 stations, the Nielsen ratings, that's a big deal. And it's because we have great guests week in and week out, and we have great listeners. So thank you for that. Every single week, you're guaranteed to walk away with tips and techniques and tricks. Well, you'll hear more about that from tonight's guest. That will get you ahead in today's business world. Just last week, right, you heard from Beth Comstock. If you are not able to implement anything that she shared, then I don't know what business you're in. It's impossible. It's impossible. She shared so much advice on how she scaled, how she became one of the most powerful women in the business world. And she shared it on the show. So what do you mean you didn't gain anything? You have to gain something from the show, unless you're tone deaf. And I don't want to insult the listeners. They're great. That's why we're in the top 10 in New York AM radio. And of course, if there's someone to tell us about how to treat your customers, it's the one and only Shep Eichen. Shep, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It is great to be here. So I'm following Beth Comstock.
Okay.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, she's on the show. She had a great show.
Amazing.
Amazing is right.
Congratulations. Woman. Top 10. How about top 5? Top 3?
Yeah,
nothing
listen.
Wrong with
well,
that.
Well, by having Shep on, I'm going to be in the top 3. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. We're not chopped liver.
No, we're not. Now, of course, at the top of the show, we do something that Shep talks about all the time. Thanking people. So I'm going to thank my team here at Bottom Line, that the team, the great folks at Bottom Line Marketing Group, play such a critical support role for the show. Srilly, Raquel, Miriam, Eliana, Dina, Michal, they play such an important support role. And to the great folks here at 77 WABC, Tim, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. And, of course, to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. We're on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, and a variety of different channels. So I just wanted to make sure to thank all the different channels that we're on, and, of course, to the great folks at Bottom Line Marketing Group and C-Suite, and, of course, 77 WABC. But Shep, who's an old friend, not old, but a friend.
I'm getting older. Last time I saw you, I was younger. That could have been yesterday.
That is true. Shep is the New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author of many books. He is a much sought-after speaker. And just in terms of, because many times people reach out, they're like, how can I get in touch with this star? ShepHyken.com?
Just Hyken, H-Y-K-E-N. But Hyken, H-Y-K-E-N.com.
Now, Shep is a much sought-after speaker. He speaks all around the world. You just came back from what, India?
No, I was in Malaysia. I was in Mexico just a week ago. And where am I heading next? I think we just booked an event in Paris. We've one in China next year. So.
Nice. So how many different languages do you speak?
I only have to speak the one because of the simultaneous translation. But I'm going to tell you what's interesting is almost every country I go to, especially Australia and London, they speak English. No, they they do. But I was in Malaysia, and most everybody there spoke English. They spoke it probably, I'm going to say I probably was smoother, but they probably spoke it more eloquently and perfectionist. You know, they perfectly than I do. But no, it's amazing. And even in Mexico, I thought I put all my slides in Spanish. I didn't have to do that. because they all spoke English. Well, I think when you're talking, so many of these countries today, they recognize, and I think it's okay. I mean, feel lucky that English is a second language to many of these people. So, but I did recently have a couple of our online courses dubbed into Spanish, which is crazy when I'm talking and I use my hands a lot. Mm-hmm. You can't see that on radio, of course.
But oh, there's going to be a video of this.
Right? I know. Yep. They can see. I'm using my hands
crazy. Good.
And what's funny is that this guy who did the dubbing, I've never met him before. He did it, and it's like his inflections were right along with my hand gestures. I go, wow, that's pretty cool. If you don't look at my lips, it looks like, you know, otherwise it looks like a bad Godzilla movie from years ago. You can say, oh, it looks like he's talking. Pretty cool. I digress, obviously.
Well, Shep's last book, Be Amazing or Go Home. First of all, I thank you because our team, everyone at Bottom Line, it's mandatory reading, but I don't come around and ask, you know, did you read the book yet?
Yeah.
But
I give it as a gift. What was habit number 16? That's what you, I can't even tell you that. But yeah, that was a fun book. It was all about different habits that amazing people have. And while my focus is on customer service and experience, it's really all about building relationships with anybody you work with, live with, makes no difference. Your best friends.
Now, we know that in a show with Shep Hyken, I mean, anything goes. We could talk about any topic, of course, certainly related to the world of the customer experience, customer service. But tonight's show is going to be about Shep's latest book, The Convenience Revolution. It's a New York Times. It's already a bestseller?
No, not yet. No,
not yet.
Oh,
okay.
No. I'm the New York Times bestselling author.
Got you.
And happen to write another book, but it's okay. It could be on its way.
Now, I'm sure
after
it's on its
show,
way.
After this we're going to have a major spike in sales.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. And the subtitle is How to Deliver a Customer Service Experience That Disrupts the Competition and Creates Fierce Loyalty. So first I want to take a step back, and again, your mind is fascinating, and obviously you're a world talent. And I'm just so curious, when was the aha moment for this particular book, going with this angle?
A great question, and it happened during editing the last book, Be Amazing or Go Home. I was working with a person that was really cleaning the book up well for me, and he says, Shep, I'm fascinated by all these companies that you mentioned, and how do you come up with them, and why do you write about them, and why do you use them as examples? And I started to think about it, and the best answer I could give him was, you know, I just think they're so much easier to do business with than others. And then it dawned on me, has anybody ever written a book about just being easy to do business with? And my friend Matt Dixon, who has written an amazing book called The Effortless Experience, focuses primarily on what happens if you have a problem and you need to reach out to a company to call them for customer service and support. And they want it to be an effortless experience. And I'm thinking, well, that's just one tiny little piece of it. What about the rest of the journey? And by the way, if you have a support group, not support, you know what I mean?
Right,
customer support group. I'm in a support group. I go three times a week. But no, if you have a customer support team in your company, that would be an amazing book to have. This book looks at the entire journey. I started thinking about why do I always, you know, and I know Amazon is almost a cliche of great business stories, and their stories is good as any, and their customer service is amazing. And I thought, why do we love them? Well, we can count on that. They're so easy. You go on 24 hours a day. You can shop. Once you're set up in the system, one-click ordering, just like that, you get what you – and they deliver. Thinking, that's why I love them. And I started looking at other companies that aren't quite like Amazon in many cases, but they have something that they're doing that's disrupting a competitor, maybe even an entire industry. I mean, think about what Uber and Lyft did to the taxi cab industry.
Right.
And they did it with convenience.
That's right.
They made it easier. I mean, I still live in St. Louis, Missouri, but I used to live in the suburbs. And if I wanted a taxi cab, I would have to call somebody, the cab company. They would tell me it'd be 10 or 15 minutes. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I was just waiting, hoping that my driver would show up. Maybe I had to call and say, where's my driver?
Right.
But the driver would show up and then ask, where are you going? Turn on the meter. When I finally got to the airport, if that was my destination, at that point, I would find out how much it cost. And I would have to pay for it at that moment out of my pocket. Well, today, we all know Uber and Lyft, once you're set up in their system, you can, you know, get, it's right. amazing. You type in the first two or three letters of where you want to go and it auto-populates. You can see how far away the driver is. You can watch the driver coming down the street. You know what kind of car, the license plate number, and you know the driver's name. You see their picture. You get in, you feel very comfortable. The driver knows where you're going without even having to ask you. You already know how much it costs. And when you get there, you don't pay out of your pocket. I mean, it automatically comes out on your credit card. You like that word, automatically?
That's great.
So, and it just happens. And you walk away and you think, wow, that's how easy it is. And that's why they disrupted the competition. And you don't have to be as you know, that extreme as an Uber.
Right.
Or
see,
Lyft,
that was going to be my
Amazon.
Next question. Is that, okay, so Uber, they invested millions and millions into the technology, et cetera. In this book, you go into how any small business can be wired.
Big, small, medium, makes no difference.
Right.
Even an individual working with one other individual can be more convenient. So there's six convenience principles.
Yes.
And let me just go to give you an example. I have been buying my cars from a car dealership. They have 11 brands represented in that dealership, big dealership. They were literally a half a mile from my office. So if I took my car in and they didn't have a car that I could drive that day, I could walk there if I wanted, or I could wait for somebody to take me. And I happened to see a car in a window of another dealer about 10 miles from my home. And I thought, oh, look at that car. I got to go check that out. And of course, my dealership is also branded with that dealer.
Okay.
Right? So I go in, I walk in, and the first thing I say is, I'm just looking. And the dealer asked me why. And I told him that you're too far away. And he asked me where I lived. I told him, he says, do you see a waiting room here? And I looked around and I said, I don't. He goes, well, we have a small one, but hardly anybody ever uses it, because if you buy a car from me, I'm going to make sure we deliver it to you. Every time you need service, you get a car delivered to you. We pick up your car. We'll bring your car back when it's done. No extra charge. This is the way we do things here. And I went, wow. And I said, well, then what's it going to take for you to get me in this car today? And he goes, wait a minute, that's my line. And I said, seriously, write up the deal and let me think about it, and I'll probably buy this car from you if that's what you promise. You better put that in writing, though, because I want to know that doesn't change. After. And he goes, oh, no, that's just the way we do it. And guess what? I'm on my third car. Get ready to buy the third car from them. They disrupted with one idea, and that was they deliver the car, which is why the fifth of the six principles is delivery.
Mm. Yep. So actually, let's, and we're going to get to the principles,
yes,
of course.
I hope so.
But
that's why we're here.
You know what? We're going to take a commercial break, because we have to just, you know, go off the air and settle something here with Shep. He's not behaving, folks. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
This is Shia Rubenstein, co-founder of the JCon Real Estate Event, inviting you to our fourth annual real estate conference, which will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, between 5 and 10 p.m. at the Diker Heights Golf Course. Please visit attendjcon.com for more information. This event will feature seminars, networking, speed mentoring, and of course a buffet dinner and the keynote by Ralph Hertzka, CEO and Chairman of Meridian Capital Group. It has speed mentors from almost every major category within the real estate industry, covering investment, hard money, developers, building management. So if you want to have unfettered access and learn from the best, or pitch them or offer them an opportunity, now is your time to get through that red tape. Once again, it will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, and visit attendjcon.com, attendjcon, for more information and to register.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets, terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
back. We settle our differences here, and we're back. Shep did not storm out of the studio in the end. Thank you, Shep. And thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
I love you, man. This is so much
thank
fun.
Thank you. Very special. Now, when we saw the book, and thank you for sending it, of course, with your inscription, The Convenience Revolution, at first, we're like, wait a second. He always talks about customer service. What does the convenience revolution have to do with customer service? Now, of course, on the cover, I'm going to hold it up for all those watching it on video. Okay, quick. Yeah, again, you have 2 points, or actually a circle and an X, and you have this line that's going this whole zigzag thing, but then it goes quick, direct, easy, frictionless, efficient, accessible, convenient. So at the end of the day, this is about customer service, yeah. Is it not?
Yeah, it is. And by the way, do you notice those words are all in a straight line? Because you know the shortest distance between 2 points
is boom.
A straight line. Straight. But look at all that zigzaggy stuff all around it. That's what most companies do to their customers. Whether they know it or not, they don't plan the process out. So, you know, in addition to customer service, customer experience mm-hmm. is a big part of what everybody lives today. Mm-hmm. And customer service is a part of the overall experience. And creating that convenient solution may be a service-related function where it's people supporting people. But the idea of convenience goes way beyond that. It's part of the entire experience. And I recommend, you know, as people get started and think about how can I be more convenient, the same way we take a look at customer service, which is identify every touch point that your customer has with your company. And I mean everyone. From the moment they're even thinking about you, they land on your website. How easy is it for them to navigate? How easy is it for them to find your phone number if they want to call you or reach out to you? So that, by the way, I use that word easy. I could say how convenient instead.
Right, right.
But then we start looking at when they do finally call, how quickly do we get them to the right person, a salesperson, if they call us? And by the way, anytime they're waiting is friction. When you aren't sure when somebody's going to pick up, some minor stress, especially 35, 40 seconds go by, it's like, are they ever going to pick up? You've just created friction. If you walk into a store and your salespeople aren't coming up to you and aren't asking to help mm-hmm. you, or maybe there's so many people there that you're wondering if a person will ever find you and help you, that's friction. So you look at every touch point along the way that interaction is with your customer and say, can I make this better? That used to be the word I used in customer service. Still is. What can I do to enhance that moment to make it a better moment? But now I say to myself, what can I do to not only enhance the moment, but maybe even make it a little bit easier? If I'm going to have somebody call and they're going to have to be put on hold, I need to create a system that says, okay, our standard is nobody's on hold longer than 30 seconds. If they are, we need to tell them how long the hold will be. There's technology that will do that. Your hold, you know, I love that. Your call is very important to us. All of our operators are busy. You'll be on hold for the next 25 minutes, but you still are important to us. But seriously, if I could tell you, your call is important, and we are having an unreasonable number of calls coming in, or unusual number,
right.
And it could be up to 20 minutes. Would you like us to call you back
right.
rather than you hold? I've now given you an option that's just started to become more convenient. Even more convenient than that is when that same technology, which is asking that question, says, if there's a time after 20 minutes that's more convenient for you, just punch it in on your keypad and somebody will call you back then. That's what convenience is. So I'm looking at that one touch point. And I've now hopefully made it better for my customers. So that's what we do. We look at every interaction point. If somebody's on the website, here's a great example. And I have this example in the book. The Wall Street, I think it's in the book. I wrote an article about it anyway. The Wall Street Journal identified that, you know, as you're subscribing to something like the journal online, if you can eliminate one field of information that the customer has to fill out. I mean, what do you really need when somebody's subscribing? You need their
right.
name,
and
their email
card
address,
information.
And their credit card information.
Right.
Why do you need to ask anything else? But what they found, and I can't cite the exact statistics,
okay.
but every time they reduced one field of information, even if it was something simple,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you male or are you female?
Right.
Something that's they increased their subscription rates just by eliminating a tiny little extra step that might have taken a moment to do, but they eliminated friction.
Shep, we're going to get back to the book, but just a question that you reminded me that I just would I hope it's okay, because this is a delicate question because it flies in the face of customer service.
Okay.
The Wall Street Journal a number of months ago actually had, I believe it was even a cover story, where they addressed the issue about customers that could be, you know, that push the envelope, as they say, mm-hmm. you know, and really, you know, kind
yeah,
of
there's certain companies
they drain,
that have, yeah, that have correct. Cut them off, that have cut their customers
and
off.
And they actually have software for that, that will, you know, if a person is just too, well, perhaps we'll use the expression too high maintenance,
yep.
that they, you know, they'll suppress them.
Right. And Amazon's famous for cutting people off. Years ago, the first that I heard about it was Sprint. There was a small number of their, I don't know, millions of customers mm-hmm. that they may have had. I think they took several hundred of them and said, you know what, we're not going to do business with. We can't make you happy. It's not that we don't want to do business, but apparently you are, there's nothing we can do that seems to make you happy. We suggest going somewhere else. And they actually cut off a number of customers. And I was asked about how I felt about that.
Right.
You know, is that, you know, what about the customers always right?
Right.
They aren't always right. Okay, but they're always the customer. So if they're going to be wrong, if you're going to do something, at least do it with dignity and respect and let the customer feel that they have dignity and respect. And I'll guarantee that Sprint left the door open so they could come back if they wanted to under the terms that would make them an easier to do business with customer. And when I'm saying unreasonable, it's not like somebody called and complained or wanted their money back. It was chronic. It was over and over.
Chronic is the word.
Yeah. And Amazon, what they got called out on for and what this article probably referenced was that people are just chronic returners, buying and returning, buying and returning, buying and returning. You know, there is a point in time where, you know, Amazon's not charging you for the shipping. And actually, they are. It's just built into the price.
Right.
It's not an extra charge. And they're not charging you for the return. And they recognize there will be a small percentage of people that return items. Right. And they count on that. But when they find somebody that's basically returning everything or most everything, they say, you know what, this isn't the kind of customer we want to do business with. People should have, and I don't think there's any bias toward that. It has nothing to do with gender, race, culture, religion, et cetera, et cetera. It's just the fact that it's violating a profitable business principle of theirs, which is, you know, and you don't want to punish the rest of the customers for the sins of just a few. So the easiest way to do it is say, hey, guys, unless you're going to change the way you do business with us, we can't do business with you.
And you actually touched on such an important concept because many companies will then single out and say, listen, okay, we can't honor certain policies, but it's really because of a few that abused the system. To say, you know, listen, at the end of the day, we're just not going to do business with X, Y, and Z and still keep our policy very generous and robust, not to punish the few that are abusing the system.
So one of my favorite examples of that is a Guitar Center. There's Guitar Center and Sam Ash. These are the big box stores of the music world. And they don't have it anymore, but you used to go in, and there was a desk. As you walked in the door, you had to show them if you were a woman what was in your purse. If you're a guy carrying a bag, they check through it. If you're bringing a guitar in, they're looking at it. They're writing things down because they want to make sure when you leave, you have to go through the exact same system opposite direction to make sure you didn't steal, didn't replace the guitar you brought in with a nicer guitar, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent millions of dollars a year on this system to prevent theft. And what they realized is the amount of theft was much less than what they were spending to prevent it. But in the process, they were creating, and these are my words, creating friction for all other customers. They were essentially punishing everyone for the sins of a few. And they recognized, you know, we don't need this system anymore. We can save several million dollars or whatever it was in the system. Sure, there's going to be people that are going to be stealing. Let's try and catch them as they're walking out the door with it. And, you know, let's just do things the way we used to do it. And there's an example of they were punishing their best customers because of a few. And they when they realized it, they said, this is just going to be easier for everyone. So there you go.
Back to the new release, the Convenience Revolution, which, of course, is available on Amazon. Speaking of Amazon,
it is. Yep.
It's available in other places as well, but Amazon is probably the most convenient.
Easy, yeah. And I think Amazon all over the world.
You have an interesting story on the history of convenience in business. Can you share that with us?
Okay, sure. It goes way back to the Justinian, the Byzantine Empire, where Justinian the Great, who at the time was the emperor, basically said, and he made a decree, and I have to translate it, but essentially the best translation that I could find said that there will be a store selling, you know, at every major crossroad, where I guess the chariots, coaches would go, but there would be a store that was selling life's necessities for the, here's the word, convenience of the citizens. And that was like in 500-something A.D., and I always joke that that's the first convenience store of all time. And then we cut to the 1920s, and there was a company called Southland Ice Corporation down in Dallas, Texas. They had a number of stores that sold blocks of ice. And back then, when I guess it was before they had refrigerators, right. where you plugged in the electric, you would actually get an ice box, put this block of ice in there, and it would keep things cold. You'd put everything in there. When it melted, you went and bought more ice. And that's what they sold. Well, one day a guy came in and who worked there, his name, they call him Uncle Johnny. He put some milk and eggs and things. And I'm assuming he'd bought at a grocery store and was just, they were there because he was going to take them home later. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, hey, are those for sale? And, you know, being the smart business person he was, he goes, yeah, they're for sale. And that was the beginning of the convenience store revolution, if you will. Not the convenience store, the convenience store revolution. Southland Ice Corporation is actually 7-Eleven with 65,000 convenience stores around the world
today. That's the story.
Yeah. And if you think about it, the convenience store is nowhere near the size of a grocery store. Right. They don't have nearly the selection.
Right. Right.
But they have the things that you basically need. The parking lot's so much smaller. You zip in, you zip out. There's a lot more convenience stores than our grocery stores. And then if you're here in New York, they're on almost every other block.
Right.
I mean, you
right.
just zip right in, like I say. And do you notice the prices? They're always a little bit more because people, at least for the convenience store, right. are willing to pay a little bit more for that convenience. By the way, that's not the case. I mean, look at Amazon, who sells at a very competitive price. Actually, at one point, the lowest price. Today, they tell you, you can buy this at a less expensive price from another vendor, and they even give you a link to that vendor. They're that confident about what they do. But the convenience store is convenient. I have a picture when I do my speeches. I have a picture. I said, let me give you the pictorial definition of convenience. And I show a picture of a minibar, a refrigerator,
okay.
in a hotel room. And it's open. And there's a can of Pepsi or Coke, right. and there's some waters. I go, what do you think that can of soda cost? Now, in the store, it's like, what, 65, 70 cents?
Right.
Yeah.
If you buy it in a pack, you can get them for 40 cents, 50 cents.
Right, right. Well, in the mini bar, it's this particular hotel was $10 for a can of soda. Now, here's the crazy thing. 25 feet outside my door of my room
is a vending machine.
Yeah, that sells the same can. Actually, a 20-ounce can, not a 12-ounce, a 20-ounce bottle.
For a dollar.
For
$3.
And it even says, we take cash or credit, so that's convenient. But every morning, it's amazing to me that I see hotel employees restocking the minibar. So I was in Las Vegas recently doing a speech, and I said, can you believe how many people actually pay $10 for a can of soda? And this is what the guy said. It's $10 this week? I go, what do you mean? He goes, they changed the price based on who's staying in the hotel.
Really?
Yeah, it blew my mind. By the way, the way to find out, and I won't tell you the name of the hotel, but the initials are Mandalay Bay.
Initials.
I love
Mandalay
Bay.
You know, tens of thousands of people listening.
I know that? That's right. I'm not knocking them. I'm just having fun with them. But no, the Mandalay Bay has a mini bar in your hotel room and a soda machine down the hall, but they're restocking. So this is what a gentleman told me as he was in there. He goes, you know, and if you want to find out the price of the get the menu of what's in the mini bar, you have to turn on your TV and you go to in-room dining, and then it has the menu of what, you know, of the mini bar. And it has the prices. And what I didn't realize is that electronically, they can change the prices. By the way, they tell you when you check in, if you pick up the soda, you've essentially bought it. Do not touch anything in the mini bar that you don't want to buy, because if you pick it up and look at it, it will register as a sale. And they warn you that. But here's the point. It's all electronic, so they can change the price at any time. So it's supply and demand based on the demographic of who's staying in the hotel. This blows my mind, which one day I may do a book on the whole concept of the completely personalized experience, which includes pricing to the customer that you have. Different prices for different types of customers, different markets, that kind of thing.
Hey, maybe that's the aha moment that happened here on 77
right here.
WC. But
if you see this
you
come out in 2 years,
about
you'll know
fantastic.
What it, yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Amazing. That's Chef's word. We're going to get to the six principles of convenience right after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
This is Shia Rubenstein, co-founder of the JCon Real Estate Event, inviting you to our fourth annual real estate conference, which will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, between 5 and 10 p.m. at the Diker Heights Golf Course. Please visit attendjcon.com for more information. This event will feature seminars, networking, speed mentoring, and of course a buffet dinner and the keynote by Ralph Hertzka, CEO and Chairman of Meridian Capital Group. It has speed mentors from almost every major category within the real estate industry, covering investment, hard money, developers, building management. So if you want to have unfettered access and learn from the best, or pitch them or offer them an opportunity, now is your time to get through that red tape. Once again, it will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, and visit attendjcon.com, attendjcon, for more information and to register.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saplis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Shep Hyken, the one and only, the magician, the great speaker, the customer service guru. That's the right way to put it. Shep Hyken. Shep, thank you for flying in from St. Louis to be here on Mind Your Business.
You are very, very kind. Thank you. My mom, I got to get her to listen to the show. She's going to be so happy with you.
How's she doing?
She's doing good.
Means where she
lives? She lives in St. Louis.
Yeah,
nice. Just a few miles from me. Can't get too far away from her.
That's special.
Yeah.
That's special. We're talking about Shep's latest book. He's written many books, and he is a New York Times and a Wall Street Journal best-selling author. This book didn't make it on that chart yet, but with your purchase, it will.
It could.
So therefore, go out and get it. You can find it on Amazon, of course. The Convenience Revolution, How to Deliver a Customer Service Experience that disrupts the competition and creates fierce loyalty. And I am sorry. Why? I didn't tell you yet about that. Three lucky listeners are going to win an autographed copy of the book. I can't believe. Well, yep. See, the prize goes to the ones that hang around.
Yeah,
see
they that? Do. They do.
So three lucky listeners. All you have to do is text over MYB. Three letters, MYB. Send it into 64600. Again, text over MYB for Mind Your Business to 64600. Three lucky listeners are going to win an autographed copy of The Convenience Revolution, Shep's latest book, all about how to make you billions of dollars. Billions, right?
It's just a letter. That's all.
Change the M to a B.
I love that. And see, sometimes things are easy if you got to break it down into simple
steps.
That's
right.
Just
change
the first letter.
That's what this book is about. The Convenience Revolution. Just change that M to a B. What's the big deal? Well, we're going to get right into the meat and potatoes of this book. There are six defining principles that this book covers, and I'm going to let Shep.
Sure.
Really,
well, let's go through them real quick,
yes.
And then if you want to break them down,
we sure do.
The first is simply reduce friction. That's number one. And the idea behind that, we've already talked about what Uber and Lyft does, mm-hmm. and Amazon, mm-hmm. but some companies like them have created their entire value proposition around reducing friction. And by the way, it's in all six of the principles, but this is the main thing. Let's just figure out the best, most convenient way.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is self-service. You know, mm-hmm. giving control to the customer. And we'll give you some examples of that in a moment. Number three is technology. And good technology can drive a great experience. And we'll give you some examples of that. Number four is the subscription model. Subscriptions are not just for newspapers and magazines anymore. You can subscribe to almost anything. Software, people don't think of it as a software license on a monthly fee that you're paying or an annual fee you're paying to use license. That's a subscription.
By the way, a shout out we had on the show, Teen Zua. He wrote The Subscription Economy.
I actually interviewed him for one of my shows, and he's a brilliant man.
Yeah.
So in his book, he talks about you can subscribe to a car now. People don't want to own things. They and that's different than renting or leasing a car. So that's subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Delivery. Car dealership that delivers car. And there's many ways you can deliver information, deliver product. You can, you know, think about 2-day delivery, 1-day delivery, 2-hour delivery, or just as a salesperson, let me bring it to you. And finally, number 6 is access. And access could be hours of operation. Are they convenient to the customer? Logistically, are you close to the customer? So there's different ways to be accessible.
So what I would like to do is, for the benefit of the great listenership of Mind Your Business, is to really go through each one.
Sure.
Okay, reducing friction. I know we talked about it earlier, but still, you know, again, you have a line over here that they are 115% more likely to recommend you to others when people deal with a place where there's very low friction.
Yeah, why do you love a company? They're just so easy to do business with. Let me give you an example of that we can maybe all relate to. If you travel at all and you get to the airport, before you're even allowed to enter the concourse, you have to go through security.
Right.
And who runs security?
The feds.
Yeah, TSA. So TSA comes up with this idea. Spend a little bit of money, a very small amount. You get like, I don't know, it's 3 or 5 years. You spend $50. And you register, and you go through a little background check.
Right.
But now you've spent a little money. You get to go to another line. And in that line, it's usually shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what you don't have to do? You don't have to take off your shoes, take off your belt, take the things out of your computer bag or your purse or whatever. You are now eliminating friction for the customer. So they figured out how to do that. Another company comes along. Clear.
Right.
Yeah. Are you a member of Clear?
Yeah.
Clear says, hey, spend a little bit more money and we'll get you in front of the TSA pre-line. And I feel sometimes a little guilty, but not that guilty. I paid my money. And what's amazing is that you put your fingers on their little fingerprint.
It goes by eyes and fingerprints.
And it's a retinal scan. And you just show them your boarding pass and they put you in front of the TSA security lines. And that's convenient. And so the goal is, you know, this company just started to say, what can we do to add value? And it's all about eliminating friction.
Now, by the way, I just want to ask, are all of these points, okay, and of course we're going to go through all the 6, but there's B2B, there's B2C. Is this the type of approach that can apply to both a business-to-consumer and a business-to-business
100%,
operation?
100%, and it's even more important. Business-to-consumer, obviously, we can come up with hundreds of retail, thousands of retail.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about B2B. It's even more important because typically—
And you would think it's the other way around.
Right.
But that's okay.
Well, because relationships are sometimes done in contract form.
Right.
So once you sign the contract, you have that relationship for as long as that contract is valid. And I always say the day to start contract renewal is the day they sign the contract to begin
with.
Nice.
Don't wait for month 11, 12.
Oh, my gosh. I work with the military, and they talk about re-signing people, you know, for another tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, when do you start getting them to, you know, to sign up again? About, you know, a few weeks before they're ready to go home. I said, they were ready to go home like in boot camp. Okay. So, but, you know, and maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but that's, you know, a lot of times that's what companies do. So in B2B, if you aren't creating that confidence with them that you're easy to do business with, they're going to be thinking, when does a contract end?
Mm.
The other issue you have with B2B is typically there's far less companies to choose from to do business with. If you're looking for a particular vendor, it's different. If I want to go to buy clothes, I can go to a mall that has 150 stores in it, okay?
Right, right.
But if I decide I want to buy some particular part that's going into my machine, there might be only a half a dozen of those manufacturers in the world that can do it. So for the vendor who needs to be thinking of themselves more as a partner than a vendor, what can I do to make my relationship with them stronger? Obviously, being a partner and understanding their business is one thing, but being easier to do business with than another is really going to help separate you from the rest of the pack.
Let's move to principle number 2. Self-service.
Yes, putting it in the hands of the customer. Think about, you probably don't think of self-service as like going to Amazon and buying something online, but that is a 100% self-service retail experience. You're doing it yourself. If you have a question, rather than picking up the phone and calling customer support for a company, you go online and they've got frequently asked questions, or they have video tutorials that will actually be even better than talking to a person. If you go to the grocery store and you walk through the checkout lane that says self-service, and by the way, this is really important. If you've ever done this before, you know, you go in with your groceries and you start scanning them yourself and putting them in your bag. And the reason they do this is that, you know, it's like, well, what am I paying for then? They put this system there to be quicker, faster, and more efficient for you, okay, as a customer. But there is always a human being, an employee, that's there to help you out. And that's really important. As you start thinking about self-service solutions, make sure there's a human backup. For, you know, don't
that's
think,
a great point.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
I'm going to create this website that has all the answers. Well, all the answers till the customer still needs to talk to you, and then they're frustrated that they can't figure out a way to do it. Make sure there's always a good fallback, a human fallback that can get in there quick and resolve the issue.
That's a great point, because let's say at Walmart, I've seen it, so there'll be, you know, let's say there are 20 registers, and then there's an area of the self-service, but there is a human there that if you get stuck and the machine has... I don't want to say always happens, but sometimes happens, you know, does not understand, you know, whatever,
right.
Just starts talking back to you.
It's so frustrating. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, I use Panera Bread, which is the chain of bakeries and sandwich stores. They're great. They actually started in St. Louis, Missouri, and one day I went there and I noticed they had a kiosk, meaning you can go over to a computer and order instead of waiting in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is pretty cool. And then they gave you a pager. And it used to be the pager would go off when you go up and get it. But they said, no, go sit down, put the pager in the middle of the table. There's a sensor in there. And when the food's ready, we'll bring it to you, whether it's to go or whether you're eating it there. And one day I asked the manager, this is really cool. I've noticed these three big technological breakthroughs in your restaurants. Why'd you do it? His exact words, it's more convenient for a guest. I go, so how do the employees feel? Are they going to be replaced?
Right.
And he said, no, they're not going to be replaced. Instead, they're the ones bringing the food out to you. They're the ones that are engaging with you far more than, can I take your order and that'll be $5.50, please? Right. You know, they're doing much more than that. So they've actually created ambassador-type jobs for a lot of these people that before were behind the counter. So they still let you go behind and order from someone behind the counter if you want. But I love that that whole system has taken place.
And, of course, this brings us to the next one, technology. But we're going to cover that right after the commercial break. But before we go to the break, I want to remind the listeners, our giveaway this evening is the Convenience Revolution. Three lucky listeners are going to win Shep's latest book, an autographed hardcover copy of Shep's latest book, The Convenience Revolution, How to Deliver a Customer Service Experience That Disrupts the Competition and Creates Fierce Loyalty. Three lucky listeners. Of course, everyone who goes and buys it is lucky, because you'll be able to turn your business from an M to a B, right? Millions to billions.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be nice? But it could happen if you really follow the principles. Now, again, there's no money-back guarantee.
Hey, okay, look at what Amazon did. It's lots of B's.
That's correct.
Lots of B's.
That's correct. And Apple, and the list goes on. So in order to get your free copy, you have to, again, there's no guarantee, but if you enter into our drawing, then, you again, three lucky listeners are going to win it. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. Three lucky listeners are going to win The Convenience Revolution by Shep Hyken. And otherwise, of course, it is available on Amazon. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
This is Shia Rubenstein, co-founder of the JCon Real Estate Event, inviting you to our fourth annual real estate conference, which will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, between 5 and 10 p.m. at the Diker Heights Golf Course. Please visit attendjcon.com for more information. This event will feature seminars, networking, speed mentoring, and of course a buffet dinner and the keynote by Ralph Hertzka, CEO and Chairman of Meridian Capital Group. It has speed mentors from almost every major category within the real estate industry, covering investment, hard money, developers, building management. So if you want to have unfettered access and learn from the best, or pitch them or offer them an opportunity, now is your time to get through that red tape. Once again, it will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, and visit attendjcon.com, attendjcon, for more information and to register.
ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yisroch Saftlis right here on 77 WABC. One of the highlights of doing this show is periodically getting a chance to get caught up with Shep. I think this is the third or the fourth time?
The third time. Yep.
And there's going to be many more.
I hope so.
Because Shep is such a close friend, and really such a close friend of so many businesses out there. By the way, to find out how you can benefit from Shep, hyken.com, H-Y-K-E-N. And you know what's a secret? Sign up for his weekly newsletter. It's jam-packed with all types of tips and techniques to help grow your business. Now, again, if we're going to grow from millions to billions, you know, it's not just waving the magic wand. Now, he's a magician also, yes.
And we've spoken about that. That's my hobby.
Well, we spoke about how you're, you know, in a previous show, how you've learned so much, you know, about customer experience by being a magician.
Yeah, I mean, by doing card tricks.
Yeah,
when I was a kid, my parents taught me to write thank you notes to my customers who hired me for birthday
parties. So beautiful.
Follow up, get feedback, those types of things. So they were customer service lessons, but yeah.
So beautiful. But tonight we're talking about his latest book and reminding the listeners again, 64600, that's the number. Text over MYB. Three lucky listeners are going to win a autographed hardcover copy of Shep's latest book. Well, Shep, we have only around 5-6 minutes left. We still have to cover the other four principles out of the six that make the convenience revolution complete.
And I'll go through them pretty quickly, but give you some
technology.
Ideas. Technology. And, boy, there's so many ways that companies are using technology rather than, you call somebody and you're put on hold and the technology tells you how long it's going to be. That's
right.
Using technology.
Right.
My dentist, for example, if I want to make an appointment, I don't have to call anymore. I can go online. I could see all the openings that he has. And I could just sign up for one of those appointments. Car dealerships are doing the same thing. Technology is driving that experience. By the way, that also crosses over into self-service. So some of these ideas of the six principles, you know, they might cross over. One helps another. But technology, look for ways to use it. Don't become so enamored by it that you replace the human element, because you always need that fallback. We talked about that with self-service. And no matter how good your technology is, if it is a problem, and a customer wants to connect with a human being, make it easy to do so. So that's technology. Subscription. This is perhaps one of the most powerful ideas. And the idea is, it's as I mentioned, it's not for newspapers and magazines, just them anymore. You can subscribe to a car, not lease a car, not rent a car, but you could actually pay a monthly fee with no long-term contract. You could do it for 1 month. Say, I want to drive Porsches this month. So I pay my fee, and depending on how much I pay, I get a choice of any number of Porsches that I want to drive that month. And I could say, I want the convertible this week, and tomorrow I want the Cayenne SUV or whatever, and I just bring it in, and I pay this monthly fee. I don't pay for maintenance. The only thing I probably have to pay for is gas, okay? I don't own the car. It's not my car, right? I got to take care of it and give it back. I'm getting ready to do a speech for the music industry, and there's companies out there that will let you subscribe to their equipment, not rent. So, for example, pedals. Like a guitar player has pedals that they make to change, you know, change the sound. You can actually get a pedal this month, a different one next month, try them all out. Eventually know which ones you want to buy. Netflix is a great example of a subscription model.
Right.
So Chewy.com sells you dog food. Every month, it shows up like clockwork on your doorstep. The Dollar Shave Club, that's a subscription model. So that's subscription. After subscription comes delivery. And I already talked about my car dealership, yes?
Right.
How they deliver the car. Well, there's an example. Take it to your customer. Anything you can do to deliver. Look at how Amazon has created the delivery wars now, where Target comes out and says, we're going to deliver in a day. And then everybody else says, okay, what's the new standard? And the new standard is being set, which, by the way, this may be one of the more important things I say. You may compete with your direct competition, but you are compared to the best service you've received from anybody. So companies like Amazon set the bar higher for everyone. Companies like my car dealership, you know, now I know what I want from every car dealership I do business with. They set the new bar. So delivery.
Point.
And finally, number six is access. And are you accessible? I use a bank as an example. Now, of course, you can go online and do your banking online. But even before that, unless you were unemployed, how do you go visit the bank?
Right.
You know, banker's hours. So are your hours accessible to your customers? Are your locations that you might have? There's a stat in there, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's like, you know, 80 or 90% of the U.S. population is within 10 minutes of a Walmart. That's accessible.
Yeah.
If I walk down the street here in Manhattan, New York City, I will find a Starbucks at almost every block or so. That's accessibility. And, of course, hours of operation. Are they convenient to your customer? So there are some examples of access.
But I think you had mentioned this earlier in the show. The most critical of the six is reducing friction.
Simply reduce friction. Find a way. Because it's within all of them. But anytime you can save a customer time, effort, whatever, stress, that's reducing friction.
Shep, we have only a few minutes left. My final question is going to be a takeaway for the audience, but whenever we have you on, it's just so important to remind the listeners about the moments, okay?
The moment of magic.
The moment of magic.
The moment of truth.
Now, by the way, the moment of truth, that's Jan Carlson, correct? But the different moments, moment of misery, moment, that's yours.
Well, so Jan Carlson said they could be good or bad. I just gave them a name. Bad is moments of misery. Good is moments of magic.
So maybe you take us through it. Again, so every human touch, or not just every touch point between any interaction between a customer and a company is a moment of truth.
Right. And as Jan Carlson said, it's an opportunity for them to form an impression, the customer to form an impression. Mm-hmm. They can be good and bad. And I say there's a third way. You've got your moments of misery, bad, complaints. Moments of magic are the good ones, which, by the way, a moment of magic isn't wow and over the top. And this is a point I want to make in just a moment that's probably one of the more powerful points. But the moment of mediocrity is the one that's average, satisfactory, just in the middle. So how do you create, on a scale of 1 to 5, satisfactory is really a 3. You don't want satisfied customers. You want loyal customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to create that loyalty, the way to engage them where they say, wow, that's an amazing company. They're always friendly, always nice to do business, always knowledgeable, always convenient. Okay, the word always followed by something positive. And I have been saying this for years, that if you're just a little bit better than average, but all of the time, all
consistent.
Of the time, consistency, then your customers will say always followed by something good. Now, here's the cool part. Just a few months ago, I interviewed from Horst Schultz, from the first president. And
right, Howard Schultz.
Not Howard Schultz, no, Horst Schultz.
Okay,
of the Ritz-Carlton.
Okay, wow.
And this is what he said.
Because he always brings examples.
I love the Ritz-Carlton. Right. He said, we built one of the finest hotel chains in the world by being consistently 10% better than average. Now think about
that. You would
that.
Think it's much higher than that. So amazing.
Yeah, but if you're always
consistent,
always followed by something good. Now if you think about that, on a scale of 1 to 5, a 3 is average.
Right.
10% better is a 3.3. Right. Can you be a 3.3 or better? Because if you're consistently a 3.3 or better, they're
going to
give you a 5. They're going to say you're amazing. And, you know, every once in a while, you're going to drop below that.
Right, okay.
But that's a problem. And they will tell you. Customers tell you when they're mad and they're angry and there's an issue.
Right.
But if all you are is average, you're never going to hear from it. You're going to think they're happy. So think about that. A little bit better than average all of the time is what makes you amazing. And convenience can factor into that beautifully.
Shep, the time goes so fast when you're here on the show. We have only around 60 seconds left. Just please share a final takeaway for the audience.
Wow, I thought I'd been doing that. But seriously, I want you to understand your interactions. Journey map it out. Write down, what does your typical customer go through? And there might be several journeys, depending on whether it's a first-time buyer, repeat buyer, somebody coming in just for service or whatever. Write write, plot it out like it's a map, and step by step, where are the interactions? Can they be made better? Can they be made more convenient? Start there and join the convenience revolution.
Shep, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you here on my
show. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's the
And best. I'm going to ask you on the air. You're going to come back, right?
I hope so.
All right.
If you'll have me, I'm here.
What's the question? Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This is Shia Rubenstein, co-founder of the JCon Real Estate Event, inviting you to our fourth annual real estate conference, which will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, between 5 and 10 p.m. at the Diker Heights Golf Course. Please visit attendjcon.com for more information. This event will feature seminars, networking, speed mentoring, and of course a buffet dinner and the keynote by Ralph Hertzka, CEO and chairman of Meridian Capital Group. It has speed mentors from almost every major category within the real estate industry, covering investment, hard money, developers, building management. So if you want to have unfettered access and learn from the best, or pitch them or offer them an opportunity, now is your time to get through that red tape. Once again, it will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, and visit attendjcon.com, attendjcon, for more information and to register.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.